I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin. With all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
As promised, his name is Mark Giannotto. He's award-winning columnist for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him at mgiannotto on Twitter. He joins us now, as he usually does, on Wednesdays. Mark, how good you feeling? How much fun was the Tigers' win last night over SMU?
It was just a great game. Like, you know, it wasn't a perfect game, but it was just a entertain. That second half where they're going back and forth at each other. You know, Memphis goes up by 9.
Yep.
Then SMU responds, ties it up. Then DJ Jeffries goes off. SMU responds again. DeAndre Williams and Alo make big plays down the stretch. It was just a fun game to be at, to watch. Excuse me. But in general, it's just fun seeing them play well. I mean, I don't know if it, you know, this means the season is going to – this is an NCAA tournament team now or if they're going to continue doing this. All I know is that the past three games have been a lot of fun to watch them getting better, to watch them progress. And it culminated – last night, I thought, was just a really fun college basketball game,
yep,
which was made, you know, obviously better because the Tigers pulled it out. And I think that four of their five losses, guys, are by 7 points or less this year. So I don't think it's anything to kind of look past that in a close game down the stretch in the last few minutes, they finally, you know, I know I guess the Tulane game a couple weeks ago was a closer game down the stretch, but this felt like the first time they really, you know, came up with the big plays, mm-hmm, to beat a good team in a close game. And it felt really encouraging, especially coming off, you know, the first two games. Because it's just interesting to me the three different ways they won these games. In that, you know, they beat Wichita State with this, you know, second half surge where they just leave Wichita State in their dust. Then against ECU, they have this spectacular first half where they put away a bad team early, like, mm-hmm, they should. And then in this SMU game, they have to dig out of an early hole and then, you know, kind of close out a back and forth game down the stretch. They won three games in three different ways. And so, again, I don't know if they've dug themselves too big a hole to ultimately go on, you know, they put themselves in a position where they have to win a lot of games to reach their goals. And maybe they can. Certainly if they keep playing this way, they're going to give themselves a chance in every game. But it's just a lot more fun when they're playing well. When you have an entertaining game like last night and when you feel like, you know, there's, you know, whether they end up turning this thing all the way around, you just feel a lot more hopeful about what's going on with that program now than you did a week ago.
And watching this thing as closely as you are and talking to Penny afterwards, Mark, what's the biggest difference offensively for this team? You know, that right now is what, hit double-digit threes in the last couple of games, in the last three games now, I think. It's after failing to score 60 the previous three? What's the biggest difference offensively between, you know, then and those struggles and what's happened in the last three games?
They're just hitting the number of three-pointers they're hitting. It loosens up a lot of things within their offense. And I think they're getting better shots. That's what I sense. Like, I know that maybe they were getting open shots before. I know Penny has said when they did an analysis of it, they felt they were getting a lot of open shots and just missing open shots. But they're getting a lot of rhythm shots now that it didn't feel like they were getting before. Like, a lot of the three-pointers they're hitting are off driving kicks, sure, catch and shoots.
Yep.
It's not guys taking someone off, trying to take someone off the dribble or a pull-up or something at the end of the shot clock. If it is at the end of the shot clock, again, it's in rhythm. And so I really think the biggest thing offensively has just been, you know, getting more three-pointers. I mean, the three-pointers in that game, if they don't get the three-point shooting they got from Landers Nolley and DJ Jeffries last night, you know, SMU is the type of team with they're even without Kendrick Davis, you know, even with Memphis shutting down Kendrick Davis, I mean, SMU has a lot of guys who can score the basketball. And if you didn't have that three-point shooting last night, you can't win that game. And so I think that's been the most encouraging thing. And I think that's built off of, one, you're getting better point guard play from Alex Lomax. And I think in turn, the better point guard play is helping you get better shots. And the better shots, I think, are opening things up for Musa inside. It's all built off each other. And they're still not playing, you know, as Penny put it last night, it's not like they were clicking on all cylinders last night. The first 10 minutes were pretty rough. But we've said all along, Jason, you've said it a lot, if they just don't turn the ball over like maniacs and they, and they play decent offensively, they don't even have to play great offensively, just decent offensively, with how good they are defensively, that's all they need.
So
and that's what's shown in these three games. Like, they've been better offensively and at times for stretches have been good, but it's still not like some world beater of an offense, but they don't need that with how they play defense.
You're exactly right, Mark. It is an ecosystem. Point guard play, made shots, Musa, it certainly is all coming together. On Musa's point though, specifically, because I think that first half, and I want to say it happened against Wichita State as well, there were a couple plays he made that really sort of turned the energy around just at that moment in the game, right? Like, and I think there was a case last night against SMU, whether it was a block or a dunk or whatever. Clearly, you know, the team is responding, to that. What sort of is your assessment of why it's changed for him? I mean, do you think it's as simple as shots are just going in now? Or do you think it's deeper than that? Like, maybe he was misused a little bit earlier in the year, and now they're keeping it extremely simple for him? Because I do see the utilization looks a lot different to me than if you compare it to the beginning of the season as well. And it looks to me like he's thriving because of it.
Yeah, no, and I think you're right. I think he changed the complexion of the game in the first half. I mean, that run they're down 13, and that run at the end of the first half, he kick-started it with his energy, whether it was rebounding the ball, blocking shots, forcing, adjusted shots, dunking the ball. He was a real catalyst there. And I think you're right in that. I think what you can see, if he's getting the ball a lot less, there were some, for whatever reason, in the first 10, 11 games, there were too many times, it wasn't a ton, but there were too many times where he was getting the ball in the perimeter for some reason. And he should never touch the ball in the perimeter at this point in his career. And there were too many times where he was getting the ball with his back to the basket. And because at this point in his career, he just doesn't have that in his skill set yet. He's not a great back-to-the-basket guy. I know he's gotten some buckets here and there, but it's never looked comfortable. Nothing has really looked comfortable with his back to the basket. What they've done a great job at is he's now getting the ball. When he gets the ball right now, it's either on putbacks or it's him rolling to the basket. It's him going, it's him charging towards the basket for a dunk. And that's, you know, as much as you, you know, you probably, you know, he's a five-star, you want him to be more than just a guy who dunks and rebounds and plays great defense. That is exactly what Memphis needs out of him. When he does that, and what he's done these last three games, he's done that, where he's been just a great rebounder, you know, a great finisher at the rim, and a presence defensively. But you've seen, they've had their three best games. And so that's what they need from him. So I think they're putting him in better position. And I also think he's playing with more energy. But he's not, obviously, you know, close to a finished product. And we, you know, we even saw it last night where Penny, you know, did not feel comfortable playing him down the stretch because he's not there yet in pick and roll defense. He's just, you know, and he's still fine tuning quite a bit of things in his game. But even as raw as he is, we've seen these last three games, what a difference maker he can be inside right now, even right now, where with his game still with a lot of room to grow.
So it's almost like you're excited about the win. It is a good win. Like that's a really good win, the best win of the season for Memphis metrically. And I think just the eye test will tell you that's the best win of the season for Memphis. But it's still kind of hard to decipher what it means, right? Like that's kind of the sticking point right now. Is like you can't come in today and say, oh well, now Memphis is a tournament team. That's not true. What is the right way to look at what that win means for and meant for Memphis last night?
I think it means that you're playing, you know, every game you win from here on out makes the next game more meaningful. We're still on the low scale, as you know, of the meaningful in terms of meaningfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, but as you keep, you know, you got to win 2-3 in a row to win 4 in a row, and you got to win. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get to where you want to go without winning games. And I would just say the way I would look at it is whether they ultimately end up winning enough games to make the NCAA tournament. Like, you want to feel one of the goals of in any season. Obviously, number one is make the NCAA tournament, try to win a national championship. But you also, the secondary goal of any team is you want to feel better about the program and the team at the end of the year than you did at the beginning of the year. And I think one of the fears and one of the reasons why those first 11 games were so concerning is that we did not feel better about the program and about the team, you know, than we did at the beginning of the year. And now you're starting to see a pathway where, you know, if they continue playing like this, if they continue to further define roles, like they, I think that's an underappreciated part of this three-game surge, is it feels like guys are actually settling into roles now. But if they continue doing this, like, you can see, like, there's a path to where you can finish the year going, all right, well, I certainly feel better about this program than I did at the beginning of January. And so I think that's how you look at it. They're getting better. And if they continue to get better, there could be some big things ahead. But for now, I think we savor the fact that this team is getting better in many, many facets, whether it's shooting, whether it's Musa, whether it's Penny's coaching decisions, whether it's, you know, whether it's just in terms of their chemistry and teamwork and their, you know, sort of camaraderie. All of it is getting better over, and it's, you know, it's pretty wild to think in about a 7-day span how the narrative has changed just with three wins, and how, frankly, it could be like a week from today, because between now and a week from today, they're going to have played, I think, three games. And so if they win three more in a row, you know, like, the conversation is going to change even more. So that's how I would look at it, as the beginning, hopefully, of a nice little narrative, if you will, whether, you know, and hopefully it continues.
Know how much you like
narratives. I think if they keep playing the way they did these last three games, they're going to win quite a few games here down the stretch.
What's Mark Giannotto's key, if there's one above the others, to doing it again tomorrow in Dallas, where it'll mean even more? Like you said, you keep winning, but that one would obviously be not just continuing the streak, but a quad one. If there's one key to winning tomorrow above all others, what would you say it is?
I think it's Alex Lomax, because I think what we've seen is, even in that game last night, when he played You know, they went down 13, and it was in part because, one, you know, he wasn't playing at the start of the game because they started Jaden Hardaway again.
Yep.
And then, two, his first few minutes, his first stint in the game, he was not good, Alex Lomax. He played much better the rest of the way until, you know, the very end was a little shaky. But his first stint was not good. And the more and more you watch this team, the more and more it becomes clear. And, Jason, I think you were hitting on this earlier than everyone. As Alex Lomax goes, it seems like this team goes. He is the heartbeat of this team, for better and for worse. And so I really think he's the key, also because he's going to be the one tasked with defending Kendrick Davis again. And, you know, I find it, you know, he went 4-14 from the field last night. I think they'll be able to control him, but I find it hard to believe you're going to just completely hold him in check again. But maybe Alo can. But I think if he plays well, you know, we see when this offense just looks a lot better when Alo is playing well. You know, he's the only guy on this roster, it feels like, who has true point guard sensibilities. Mm-hmm. The problem, of course, is his effectiveness is, you know, it vacillates. Like, he can have spurts where he looks awesome, and he has spurts where he looks awful. And when he looks good, this Memphis team looks good. So I'm gonna say it's Alex Lomax. He's the key tomorrow.
And isn't it fair, I'm with you, isn't it fair at this point to say, isn't it a fair criticism that you're setting yourself back and starting Jaden, but what we've seen with Alex, for better or for worse, like you've said, that you're just setting yourself back and starting Jaden? Like you said, Alex gets in, and he's got to get settled in. Like, that takes time, too. And what it does is the idea where you could have possibly had a quick start, and I know Penny would probably point us to ECU and say, well, we got off to a quick start there. But it seems to me like it's clearly you're holding yourself back there with that. That Hardaway could still be a part of the rotation, just not at the front like that. Because if you're inevitably just going to start Lomax in the second half, I don't get the point, Mark. You're setting yourself back.
I'm with you. I think Penny just thinks about it. From covering him these,
like you said, superstitious.
Third year,
he sticks with us.
I think he's superstitious. Like, yep. I don't think he's guy. I think you're right. Jaden start again because they keep winning.
I think you're right.
And until they lose, he'll switch.
That's
it.
What he does.
I think he's willing to. You know, I think he's starting Jaden with the knowledge that I might need to pull him quickly. And you saw last night, more so than ECU and Wichita, SMU, when they, you know, with that starting lineup, they really pressured ball handling.
Yes, they did.
At the beginning of the game, they were well aware that there was not a true point guard out there on the floor, and you saw at the beginning of the game, Memphis was struggling to even get into its offensive sets because it just didn't have a strong ball handler out there. You know, Lester did his best, and then ultimately defensively, which is, you know, unfortunately, like, Jaden still has, you know, some room for growth defensively, and you saw SMU take advantage of that a little bit. But he's been a nice player. I agree with you. He's improved.
Like,
I was wondering, you know, at the end of the game, you know, whether, you know, he's hit some clutch free throws this, you know, over the, you know, this year. I wondered if they would bring him in for that. Like, I agree with you, but I think ultimately I'm not going to complain. You know,
they're winning.
It's a small quibble. As long as they're winning, like, you know, I can understand if Penny's a little superstitious and wants to keep the starting lineup, not tinker with it until they lose a game with it. I wouldn't necessarily do that, but I can, you know, I can see why he would, maybe, you know, if that's how you feel about things, if that's what you're comfortable with, that's what you're comfortable with.
Well, I mean, I think it's because they're winning that he's not going to change it. My only thing with it is, like, it just feels pointless. It's almost unfair
to Jaden,
right,
who didn't come here as a point guard.
Right.
Now, it's seeing if he can handle it,
right,
but you're putting him in a situation where you're asking, all right, get us in a flow. And when has that ever been, you know, sort of Jaden's thing?
Right, because, I mean, the truth
is, it's almost unfair to him.
If they were not winning, I mean, would we not be talking about this lineup totally differently?
I wonder if they had lost last night, Mark, I'd be asking you that question with a different tone, right?
I mean, because they managed to go with a lineup there in that first half that did change the dynamics of the game, right, and late in the second half.
Yeah.
But they were in a 10-point, 12-point hole.
Mark's right. I mean, they're winning, so it feels like a quibble right now, but I just wonder if it could cost them at some point.
I think you're right. You might as well preemptively avoid.
Oh,
you know, you're going to get criticized if you lose and you do it, and it doesn't work. And at the very least, if you know, let's be honest, if you change the starting lineup and you lose, I just don't think you're going to get criticized like you would if you don't change it and lose.
Yeah, I mean, because it's always the same formula. You know, he starts the game, he plays fewer minutes than pretty much everybody else, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's just like I'm not sure what it's achieving is all I'm saying.
And you're in must-win mode right now, too.
Correct.
That's the other part.
If you know, I think the
reason Penny did it initially is because before this winning streak started, he was dealing with the team of guys who, like, wouldn't accept a role.
Sure.
And the Jaden, one of the things that's been so refreshing about him, and I think why Penny put him in the starting lineup, is for a while there, it felt like Jaden was one of the few guys on the team who knew exactly what he could and could not do on the court.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.